Let's pray before we begin. Lord, as we study this passage together, let us learn more of who you are and who we are in Christ. Amen. The passage we just heard comes from part of a letter the Apostle John wrote during the first century. He had also been one of Jesus' disciples years beforehand and wrote the book that bears his name. Now, during the period in which he wrote this letter, there were false teachers, heretics who brought the gospel into question. Gnosticism was the name of one particular group who denied the incarnation of God coming to live amongst us in the person of Jesus Christ, born as a babe in the stable. They denied the Christmas story. John, he wrote this letter to encourage his readers in their faith. The voice of false teachers can still be heard today. They distort the gospel, they twist its truths, cause confusion where it ought not be. And the church, called to proclaim Jesus is Lord, can at times be seen to speak its message timidly, quietly, in case it offends. No wonder church can seem as being irrelevant to those who look from the outside in. John's letter, written 2,000 years ago, so needs to be heard by this generation today. In our passage, he uses two phrases to describe, to remind us of who Jesus is. He is, verse 2, the eternal life. Eternal, it's a word we usually use to describe the continuation of something into the future. But here it's used to describe the past, of how the Son has always existed with the Father, before anything had been created, before even the world had begun. Genesis 1. They enjoyed a loving relationship with the Spirit from before time itself had begun. John 1. 3 into 1. This is our God, and his love, that is the motivation behind all that he does and has done. Jesus is the eternal life. And secondly, verse 1, he is the word of life. Words here meaning the message, the gospel about him, of how he came to live amongst us, took on flesh, born as that tiny babe in a manger, lived amongst us, amongst the lost, then some 30 years later chose the cross so that you and I might have life. Like the first hymn we sung, oh what a day when Jesus came, God with us in our darkness. Oh, what a day. This is Jesus Christ, whom the gospel, the entire Bible, is about. So let us look at John's letter at the very first part, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. He's saying, I'm telling you about someone who I and others have seen with our eyes, heard with our own ears, touched with our hands. John and the other disciples knew Jesus. They travelled with him during his ministry. They had also seen him when he appeared before them in his resurrected state, alive in a new way, alive as never before. John is saying, we knew Jesus in a very real sense. This letter it's an eyewitness account, a reliable source. It's first class. Have you ever wondered what it must have been like to be there with them, to meet with Jesus too? It'd be great if we could just step into Doctor Who's TARDIS, set the dial and be transported back into time. My mum, she loves the Psalms because of her love of poetry. She's heard the gospel message, but she is stuck. For her, Jesus is this historical figure from the past. The story about him, almost too good to be true. And she thinks it will only be possible to find out, to be sure, once she herself has passed away, but not in this lifetime. This, I believe, is a common barrier, a wall that stands in the way of many coming to faith today. Our friends, family members, neighbours, ourselves. I can remember what that is like to think Jesus is this figure from the past who might have been real. Someone we may or may not see, meet with on some future date. That is until I discovered for myself 12 years ago that Jesus is alive. Listen to what John says to us all in verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. We'll look at that in a minute, but first read on. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. John doesn't say his fellowship was with God or will be at some future date. This is all present tense stuff. It's great. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, who through the cross made it possible for you and for I, who are sinful, to come into his holy presence and fellowship with him there. We can meet him through scripture, as we worship, as we pray with one another. Pray to him. Holy Spirit is our help. John, in writing, wants us to know this. Now let us go back to the beginning of verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. John is basically saying, I am in Christ. If you believe in him too, then you will join with us and become a part of God's family too. Fellowship amongst believers is what God had always intended for those who belong to him. We learn in the Gospels that Jesus often prayed to his Father, One particular prayer is just for us. It reads, well, it's John 17, it reads, may all of them, that's us, may all of them be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. To be a Christian in isolation was never God's intention. We are called to fellowship through membership of a local church like this. And as we worship, build one another up in faith. But like any family, of course, there will be misunderstandings and fallings out. But if we are firmly rooted in Christ, if we are immersed in him, then we can, as verse 7 says, walk in his light. We can be transformed from within and live lives that honour him by bearing with one another, serving one another, and all we come into contact with, not out of any sense of duty, but in love. And we can love because he loved us first. We're coming to the end now. John, in writing, first gives an eyewitness account of meeting with Jesus Christ, then speaks of how we can have fellowship with him too. And finally, how we can enjoy fellowship with other believers if we are rooted in Christ and walk in his light. Christmas is over for another year. The presents unwrapped. When someone holds out, offers you a gift, you don't just keep your hands by your side. You hold them out, don't you? And you take it and you say, thanks. Only then is that thing yours. That thing to play with, to wear, to eat, to squirt in the bath. The gift Jesus offers, which is life, is available all the year round. You just have to ask him, invite him in, hold your hands out in faith, and receive. This is the joy of life, of fellowship, of walking in the light of Christ. This is what salvation is all about. If you'd like to know a bit more, there'll be people in the side chapel that you can pray with or have a chat with. There's booklets at the back called Why Christmas? Please take one, or just come and have a chat with one of us. But let us pray. Lord, Father, thank you for your word. As we worship you together, read scripture and pray. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, and our ears to hear, so we may see you more clearly and strive to walk in your ways. Amen.